Thank you guys for being with us tonight. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. And so I'm extremely jealous of the guys that play instruments because I've always wanted to play an instrument. And so it's really difficult for me sometimes. Like, you know, they're up here playing guitar and they're looking all cool and all that kind of stuff. And then it's so cool that they rest their guitars on a stand, right? And it just looks all cool. Well, I'm a coach and I love baseball, and so I thought I'd just adapt the concept. It's a bat stand. So this is what I'm going to bring out to the field every day now, and you know, you just undo it and, you know, hit, and then you say, hey, you know, hey guys, hey, cool, you know, doing back in there. Good deal, right? I thought it was a good deal. Well, when I was 9, I loved the game of baseball. I loved the game of baseball. I loved watching it. I love during the time that I was watching really into baseball, Steve Garvey was my favorite player. He played for the Dodgers and the Padres and Tony Gwynn, Daryl Strawberry. And then I loved getting into the history of baseball. I loved getting into the how many hits and how many home runs and how many Babe Ruth hit in a short amount in season and all that stuff. I got into it. And so all those pictures were in my head. I loved the game of baseball. I loved the little battles between the pitcher and the hitter. I love the battle when a runner gets on first base and the pitcher makes moves and decides whether he's going to check the runner at first. And I had all these grandiose pictures of what baseball was supposed to be like. And so my time came. I was 9 and I was at tryouts at Cactus Little League at 29th and Swan. It's a little park right there, Freedom Park. And I had these pictures in my head of how I was going to get it done. How I was going to just and let see the ball sail. I had those pictures that I had embedded in my brain and in my heart of how I thought the game was supposed to be played. And so I stepped up. We went through the infield and outfield thing. I caught. I threw well. I did great. Then I got up to the plate, thinking this is going to be a piece of cake. This is easy. I get up there, I switch hit, so I was on the left-hand side, not knowing what the heck I was doing. One blows by me. Whew. Wow. So the pictures of the grandiose baseball player started to diminish a little bit. Like, this is tougher than I thought. Stepped out. I got 5 pitches. Step back in. Next one, high and fast. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Third one, swing and a miss. I'm like, holy cow, this is not like they had set on the TV. Or when I saw a live game, these guys just, you know, easy swing, crack. It just sizzles out there. So I got to the final and the last pitch. And you know what? I wasn't hoping to look like Tony Gwynn or Steve Garvey or Daryl Strawberry or anybody. I was just struggling to make contact. I think prayer is that way. Sometimes we struggle to make contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more time we spend in the hitting cage and more pitches we see, it's easier to hit the ball. Same with our prayer life. The more time we spend with Jesus and we step more into prayer, we get to rely on His strength. No matter if you have never prayed or you're just a beginning prayer or you're a seasoned prayer warrior, James wants to remind us. We're in James 5 tonight, verses 13 through 18. And James wants to remind us the essentials to your faith, and the changing of our heart is done through prayer. James is writing this letter to a group of Christians that are Jewish, that are being persecuted. They're under extreme stress. They're going through major trial. And they're being persecuted because they're following Jesus. Just like in chapter 1 and the theme throughout James, if you've been with us this whole series, it's he's saying no matter what, stay faithful, endure, hang in there, hang on, Prayer makes our faith grow stronger. In verse 13 and 18, James mentions the prayer in every single verse. I wonder if he wants to get something across. I think he's making a point, a very direct point, a simple point, saying that we need to connect. And here's some options on how you can connect where you are in your situation in the context where they were, which that context is where we are. Everything we're going to talk about tonight is in our current day. And so before we get into the scriptures, I'm just going to say a prayer. More for myself, but also for us, that God will disturb us in our thoughts, in our processes about what we think about prayer, or what we've been either hurt through someone that said they were going to pray, or whatever our conceit, what we have ever conceded or thought of prayer, that God would change that up tonight, or give us a next step to Him, and would challenge us in our hearts and in our spirits. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that we get to communicate with you. Lord, we thank you that we get your scripture and your word, and people get to tell us on ways that we can pray. And Lord, just be with us tonight. Disturb us where we're sitting, where we're standing, or wherever we are, wherever, whatever situation we are in life. Lord, that we will just lean into you and step into you and make connection with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, honey. That's my wife that called me, and she's not on the other line. Sorry for that interruption. I should not have that on my phone. I forgot about it. That's a reminder. Make sure you check your phone. Let's turn to chapter 5 of James. And let's read 13 through 18. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have not sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for the land for three and a half years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." This passage is pretty huge. There's some weird things like, why did you put Elijah at the end? We'll get to that. This passage has four distinct things in it that I want to pull out tonight. So we're going to travel that way. But I want to put a large umbrella over this for a second. These are not the only way that you can pray to God, the ones we're talking about tonight. And I don't want to give you the impression that I have got this prayer thing all figured out, because I don't. And I think sometimes as a pastor, we get viewed like we've got everything figured out because we're teaching it or that we're instructing in it. There's moments where I struggle to pray. There's been times in my life where I felt like I couldn't pray to God. And then there's days in my life where I feel like I just thank him for everything. I thank you for not letting me go through that speed camera. I thank you for my family. I thank you for everything. So I'm constantly talking with God. And so the ones that we're going to talk about are just some ways that we're talking or that he's bringing up. So in verse 13, it says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray." A prayer of comfort. Have you been in trouble? I know I've been. And you say, "God, I need some help here. I need some help. Help me out of the situation. Throw up a miracle. Throw up a quick prayer, a nod of God. You see me down here?" A prayer of comfort. We don't have to just pray for comfort. We pray to the person who is the comforter. And that's what James is saying here. It says, and I love it, in the second half of 13, it says, is anyone happy? So first of all, he sits over here and says, is any of you in, what did he say? In trouble, right? So he sets the frame here. You're in trouble. And we can identify with that, right? And then as he says, hey, is anyone over here, are you happy? Is anybody happy? Oh, that, sure. Yeah, I'm happy. Great, thanks. But so anyone happy, what does it say? It says to sing and to praise him for that happiness or that joy. And so do you see what happens here? He puts a spectrum. If you're in trouble or if you're happy, that puts a guide to how we are to pray. Don't just pray if you need a miracle. Don't just pray when you are suffering and in trouble. We can pray all the time between that. You can pray when you see a beautiful sunset. And you can pray to him when you're bankrupt. So he accepts prayers and he loves to hear from his children in any form. And that's what James is talking about in 13. Let's see what he says in 14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. You're like, why do we have to bring oil into this? Well, the significance of oil, and there's many significances in biblical times, but the main part of why he's saying this is if there was a cut or a laceration or a boil or something like that, they would anoint the oil or the wound to keep the dirt out, to keep it hygienic. But I don't think that's what James is talking about here when he uses this phrase about, is anyone sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray. I think he's not talking about physical sickness here completely. I think he's talking about physical sickness and spiritual and mental and emotional. Mentally, emotional suffering affects us when we're in trials and when we're being tempted. When we're being persecuted for our beliefs. When we're spiritually weak. When we're spiritually depressed. When we're spiritually weary. When we're trying to toe the line and we just are weary. And some of us have moved to that spiritual exhaustion. We've just thrown in the towel and said, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. We're in the middle of a battlefield. We are in the middle of a battlefield in your life. The enemy wants to seek you out, destroy your relationships, destroy your life, and exhaust you at any cost. Anybody can feel that? Maybe persecution puts you in that space. Maybe sin puts you there. But the point is, we're exhausted mentally, physically, and we feel spiritually defeated. And he says, through James, I know some of you are suffering and sick. Pray. Pray. Pretty simple. When you put it, just say, pray, pray, yeah, pray. But when you feel the weight of life, when you feel the weight of decisions, the emotional hurt and pain. I don't know about you, but there's many times in my life, there was two times in particular that I felt like my prayers went up and didn't even hit the ceiling and then fell back down. That's an awful feeling. Hopeless, exhausted, not being able to even say or utter the words to ask for help. But if you hit rock bottom, you know that something to do is, what does James say? Pray. But does he say pray yourself? No, he said, go get somebody. Go get the elders. Go get the leaders of your church. Go get them and ask them to pray for you. If you're finding someone that is, if you're weak and you cannot pray, are you going to go find someone that doesn't pray either? Probably not. So he's saying, hey, here's the leaders. Here's the leaders of your church. People that, maybe have gotten or maybe are a little bit further than you or understand things a little bit better than you do. Go ask them for prayer. They're spiritually strong. When we have sickness, let him call on the elders and the church and the leaders to give you strength. Verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. Because he is God. Go to the elders of the church. Let them come alongside you. Let them intercede on your behalf. Let them give you comfort and strength so that you're not alone. The Lord will raise you up, lift your spirits, and restore you. Remember, prayer makes our faith grow stronger. And it doesn't have to be us saying a prayer. If you've got a group of people or elders or leaders that are praying for you or people praying for you, that helps your faith grow. In 15, it also talks that they will be forgiven. And that leans to, this is not just about physical ailment or physical disease. It talks about, you know, us in our spiritual weariness. It's a result of sin. Then praying and crying out to him among others, confessing your need, he will forgive you. Forgiveness means to send away, put away, go away. The sin that binds us and pulls us down and exhausts us is going to be gone when we can pray to God. Verse 16, it gives us some more instructions about prayer. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I've already kind of alluded to this. If we're not praying with each other, if we're not praying us as a community together, if you don't have a community that are praying for each other, last time I checked, Lone Rangers get hurt pretty bad, get beat up pretty bad. And Mavericks usually end up in the movies, what do they end up usually getting hurt and isolated and no one likes them and all that kind of stuff. So God has created a community in prayer. It's essential for spiritual strength. Go to your community before you hit rock bottom. If you know that you're going into most things in our life are in cycles. It's not the first time we usually go through a cycle and then it hits us again and we're like, oh, this was last time. Anybody align with me on that? They get whapped upside the head with multiple ways and you should have fixed it the first time, didn't, and it keeps on reoccurring in our lives. I guess I'm the only one. Maintain a relationship with believers. It talks about this throughout the whole Bible, but James is making it very apparent. There's something amazing when you have two people coming together, a multitude of people coming together, praying for each other, honestly, confessing your sins to each other. It doesn't mean pouring out every little dark sin or vomiting on them. But if there's something you struggle with, just ask. Say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with some relationships at work. I'm struggling with a boss. I'm struggling with my finances. Those you can say and have people pray for you. Because what the enemy wants is to sin for you to be alone with your sin. Sin wants to isolate you. Sin doesn't want anybody that shouldn't know to know. As long as it's private and it's a private secret in our life, you can nurse it along, you can justify it, and you can feed it. But as soon as it's out in the open, it's there, and it's God can work and heal. There's freedom in exposing the darkness, the sin in our life. God wants to it out in the open with people that can love you. Now, a lot of you are checking out like, no. I'm not doing that. But there's a reason why James put it in here. It's because that reaction that you just had. It's not comfortable. It's not great. But it's freedom in when we let other people into our darkness and they can shine light and spiritual health and strength. This is an interesting thing. This is I'm a type 1 diabetic. I wear an insulin pump. And so when I read this scripture, I thought, well, how does our emotional, when we're distraught or depressed or anything like that, how does that play into our physicalness, into our physical body? And so I firmly believe that sin can make its way into our bodies. If you take stress, your body takes account for stress. You see all kinds of stress and people having heart attacks and all that kind of stuff. But I was reading this article, and it was a while back, and your brain can fire off and receive tons of information. And there's lots of different parts of your brain that can work in to help your body and process your body. But physical pain and emotional pain are registered in the same spot of your brain. There's one part of your brain that when you get dumped or a relationship doesn't go south or you get rejected for something, is just as if you got your leg broken. Much of you rather have your leg broken than the rejection and the issues over here. But so that's why James is talking about is that's why we need to pray, is that we have sin in our life that sometimes can put us and our bodies into a not so good situation. And we can justify it. We can rationalize it. We can talk ourselves into that little sin doesn't make any difference in my life. It's no big deal. No one will know. I'm not really doing anything wrong. Have you heard yourself that one, self-talk? I've said that to myself. So confess, when I mean the word confess, it says be honest. Open, share your struggles. Let people know you're in a battle. The weakness in our life can be God's victory. The weakness in our life can be God's victory. James closes about a word of power. It's in verse 16. Let's read it. It says, in 16 it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. If you were in a class and you could pick words that you wanted to be and that would be what your story would be, wouldn't you want to pick powerful and effective? Isn't that what most of us strive for, is to be effective? If you're a nurse or a doctor, you want them to be effective. If you're a banker, you want them to be effective so they don't mess up numbers and my bank account doesn't shrink. So when we are going to pray to those people, and we're a righteous person has tremendous power. And when they pray, and elders and leaders, and when you go to them and you share, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, this is what I need, their prayers for you are powerful and effective. And when we pray for others, are powerful and effective. He nails this story down with verse 17 and 18. Elijah, you wonder why, like, why did that end? Why is that? Why did that little 17, 18 get down there with Elijah? It kind of doesn't go along with the story. What's that about? And I think what he's trying to do here is he said Elijah was just a man. He was a prophet of God who suffered and was in a battle like a human, just like we are. He prayed earnestly that the rain would stop, that the rain would stop. And you ask, well, why did he ask for that? If you go back in a little bit of history and know, in 1 Kings, the Jewish people were being taken, and they were worshiping an idol called Baal. And so he saw that they were drifting from the true God. And so he said, God, stop the rain and bring them back to you. And God honored that and stopped the rain and fed Elijah with ravens and gave him by a brook of water to sustain him. And then when they turned back to God, Elijah prayed powerfully again, and it rained. So I think why James is putting this up there is we have the power, not just for comfort or not just to support each other in with each other in praying in community, but we have the power that Elijah has. It is the God that we serve, that we love, has given us that communication to pray to him openly with that kind of power. Prayer makes our faith grow stronger. And I would love to continue that story that I started back with the baseball bat. Baseball's still one of my favorite sports. And Jesus is one of my favorite people. But if I neglect one, Jesus doesn't go anywhere. Baseball will continue. And so let's go after the one that is saying, I want to bring freedom to you. I can make it rain. I can make it stop. I can heal you. I can save you from your sins. I can save you from yourself. And all we have to do is pray. Now, some of you maybe have some prayer issues. And I have some prayer issues. Just like I did with the baseball players, I idolized these players are playing in the major leagues and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that's how baseball was supposed to play, but I forgot the intermediate steps. So I thought at 9, I was going to yank it 300 yards, but that doesn't 300 feet, but that doesn't work that way. And so my prayer life has been the same way. And so there's some steps, and I think we need to kind of change our mind frame a little bit, that prayer is just like talking to my wife on the phone. Hey, God, how you doing today? Do you think of ever asking God how he's doing? That's weird. Say, hey, I'm struggling here. God, I'm struggling. And it's just like a text message. And there's people that I know that text message their prayers out. Because I think in my life, where I've faltered, is I pray in my head. I'm my worst enemy. I'll forget. I'll lose what I was praying for. But if I can pray out loud, or if I can write it down, or text it, or email myself, I can figure out that conversation with God. So I'm going to give you a couple of... There's two different types of people I'm talking to. So these are the people that just want to connect with God. I think we all need to connect with God. But I'm saying just some initial steps to get you communicating with God. And so this is one that's been huge in my life. And sometimes when I get off track prayer-wise, this is what I do. I just do a running list to thank him for things in my life. I could thank him for the nice paved road outside my house. But I'm starting to talk and verbally talk with God. So I want you to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to make a list, either on your phone or on your tablet, or, you know, like on your regular paper or in a, you know, some kind of journal. But just thank him. Just start. Say, God, thank you for waking me up today. Thank you that I have a car that started. Lord, thank you that blank. Thank you for blank. And just start that conversation. When you first meet someone, does the relationship, just conversation just flow usually? Well, if it's a good relationship, maybe. But when you get to know someone, you have to get to know the communication. And God wants to communicate with you. And then the other thing that gets me back on track or gets me reacquainted with God is there are so many beautiful things in our world. And God has created us to worship that. And we take it other places, like worshiping everything else. But we were created to worship in our heart, knowing who God is. And so just to open up and see the beauty that God has around you and thank him for it. Then I'm going to move to the people that have been around a little bit longer, or maybe have this prayer thing figured out, that maybe they have a prayer list, or that maybe they feel like they have a great conversation with God, and they are communing back and forth and communicating. Some of you are like, that's weird. So I'm going to put a challenge on you guys. If you feel like you can communicate with God, I want you to approach someone else in this room, in this church, and ask, how can I pray for you? Because Element City Church needs to be a home, a place where we aren't in battle. That we come, we can get a little R&R, and we can get some support and some love. So you guys are the more mature believers that have known Jesus longer and have this kind of a better rhythm. I'm asking you to reach out to someone and ask, how can you pray for them? It's our responsibility. Look to your left. Look to your right. We are responsible through prayer for everyone in this room. And that seems heavy, but that's praying for our community. Jack says this all the time, do for one that you would love to do for everybody. And so I'm going to challenge you to go find someone and pray for them. And this is for everyone. Here's some more challenges. As you're going about your day, as you're perusing through Facebook, as you're going through your Twitter feed, as you're going through whatever, and people come into your mind, stop and pray for them. This happens a lot when I drive, so don't drive near me because this is bad. So I literally think, I'm like, wow, why am I thinking about that person? There's probably a reason, or there maybe you just had a fond memory. What I'm asking is take it a step further. Say a prayer of protection. Say, God, I really protect them. Give them a huge blessing today. And take social media and the technology that we have to remind us to pray for others. You know what's really weird is sometimes I'll be sitting, studying, or thinking, and someone will come to mind, and I'll literally just text them a prayer. Not, hey, dude, this is a prayer for you. I would say, Jesus, help them today see you clearly. If you want to freak people out, I mean, do it. It's kind of like, what? Block your number first. It's really trippy then. But it happened a couple weeks ago. I was sitting in, and I was struggling with what to do with some certain situations. And I was just texting out, and I text Ryan. And he goes, I said, how can I pray for you? And because I'm trying to practice this too. And he goes, well, you know, this is what you can pray for. And he goes, right back, how can I pray for you? It was natural. And I said, you know what? I'm struggling with some wisdom right now. I need to know what to do. And so he said, okay, I'm praying for wisdom. Not only just did he do it then, but he followed up with me a week later and said, how's your wisdom? How is it going? I've been praying for you. What does that say to people? What does that say to me when Ryan did that? That he cares. And when we pray and we take time out of our lives to pray, that's huge. In this world when the enemy wants us to isolate, wants us to be our own identity. We would love, as pastors of Element City Church, to be a home here that is full of prayer, that we are praying for each other, we are picking each other up, we are helping people, and that we are moving each other and supporting each other closer in our relationships with Jesus Christ. And that's what James talks about in this whole book. Is hang on. It's tough. It's rough. But I've put a community around you. It's called church. To help you in these hard times. In the physical ailments, in the mental, in the emotional. I've put people around you to do that. And tonight, if this is all mumbo jumbo to you and you can't even utter a prayer, and you've got a situation that you're just struggling with, we're going to have some prayer people down. We've got some men and women where they're going to be on the left side and be on the your left and right. And they just want to pray for you. So as we take communion, as we sing the last worship song, if you would like to be prayed for, if you'd like to be anointed with oil, saying, hey, I need some help. I need someone to lift this stuff with me. These people love you, they love Jesus, and they want to pray with you. And so, I encourage you, don't worry about people around you. Don't worry about, what are they going to go down there for? That's not what it's about. We are going to be home here at Element City Church where we're going to pray for each other. We're going to love on each other, and we're going to support each other. Prayer makes our faith grow stronger. Faith in Jesus and the way that he changes our heart is through a conversation with him. We're going to go to a time of communion. There's stations and there's gluten-free down here and there's stations in the middle and the side. We just want to spend some time just thanking him for the sacrifice that he has made for us. And think of the challenges that I put in front of you. Thanking him for his beauty. Thanking him for things in your life. Approaching another person and asking how you can serve them and pray for them. And how you can pray for people that come to your mind, that the Spirit gives you or that you think of. And following up with them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you give us prayer. We thank you that you are just amazing. That you care for us so much, that you've given us this ability to communicate with you directly, not through someone, but directly to you. And Lord, I love it that you've set us up as church, that we can support and love each other through prayer. And Lord, just show us and direct us what that looks like. Lord, as we sing your praises, because it's not all bad. Lord, you have times in our lives. Lord, let us sing and praise you because of you are glorious and you are powerful. And Lord, thank you for the times when we can lean into you when we're sick or injured. In Jesus' name.